conference finals are in full swing and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball and hockey playoffs, offering players a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes. That's up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs each day. The best part is, it's free-to-play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to Pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes every day in the NBA and NHL playoffs. Head to DraftKings Pool to Play page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Today on the Soda Pod, we talk about a former Blackhawks scumbag of a video coach and enlighten everybody on that story. We're also going to dive into Ray Shiro joining the Minnesota Wild's front office. We'll also dive into Jack Eichel and other NHL trade rumblings. And we have our friend James Nichols joining us for our last segment in Tim Peel's Hot Mic of the Week. All that and more in episode 166 of the Soda Pod. Let's go. From the wild woods of Vancouver Island, welcome to the Soda Pod. Isha Dromi here alongside the State of Hoppy. And thank you for joining us wherever and whenever you are listening. A big happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Unfortunately, I didn't get to spend it with my dad today, giving him a FaceTime, a Facebook video call after this. But Hoppy, how's your day been? And did you make the rounds and see the pops?
Yep, made the rounds, went out and saw my dad this morning. We actually, his choice, met at Back Channel because that's right by their place that they're actually selling on Friday. So congrats to them getting out of, well, the cities and just going to fish for the rest of his life. So
attaboy.
Yep, attaboy. And then went out and saw the in-laws as well. So yep, made the rounds and, well, here we are, back to it.
Here we are, back to it indeed. Hope all the other dads listening to this podcast and sons listening to this podcast, I hope you had a great day with your father as well. We're totally interactive here on the Soda Pod, so hit us up on Twitter and Facebook at the Soda Pod. You can leave us a voicemail or a text message at 612-324-1684. And a big thanks to OpenPhone. It's a cell phone in an app. Great monthly rates at only $10 a month only at OpenPhone. Again, that's 612-324-1684. Before we move on here, the Hockey Podcast Network is powered by DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code THPN for a sign-up bonus or weekly deals if you are a regular user. All right, on the other side, we got the Hoppy Hour, then some heavy NHL news and notes. You're listening to the Soda Pod, episode 166, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.
First, I'd like to propose a toast to UMD goaltender Alex Stalock. To Stalock!
To Stalock!
I love that stuff. Been drinking it for years. You know, I heard they recently decided to add more hops to it.
You're all hopped out?
All right. Special Father's Day edition of the Hoppy Hour. I heard in that intro there, Hoppy, that you cracked yours. What do you got on tap here before we tell some fun father and sports related stories?
Yeah, and this one kind of actually goes out to my dad selling his house right now. Also to Kirill Kaprizov, just very timely. We have Stacking Cash by Blackstack.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. And they are stacked. I love it.
It's funny, too, because it's Monopoly money. So it looks kind of like your money, Isha.
Which, you know, I read an article the other day that Canadian money is actually the dirtiest money because more germs can stick to, you know, whatever it's made out of, because it ain't paper. because I think they don't burn.
Hey, universal healthcare, right?
Universal healthcare. So apparently it was it was one of the biggest spreaders of COVID was our cache. So there you go. Everybody moved to tap in a pandemic. Anyways, I got on hand here the birthday cake by Spectrum Brewing. As Shane dropped off some beers for me, shout out Shane. He said this one he really, really liked. He hasn't been impressed with Spectrum that much in the past, mostly because of their website, because he said that their website is like, it's almost like hipster, but crossing the line of hipster, because craft brewing is pretty hipster in itself. Yeah. But it's like the website that's like, we're craft beer made for those who don't like craft. It's just too meta.
Basically, if you tried to turn on a hockey game in there, they'd smack you with their mustache.
Exactly. But this one he said was awesome. A very simple can, you know, with the birthday cake sprinkles, contains milk sugar and is naturally flavored. So I'm excited to try this one. Thanks, Shane. He also dropped one off for me, Hoppy. It was a $9 beer. And he said that one should go in Hoppy's care package. So you're going to get something special there too.
Oh, baby.
Oh man, this is good. I never thought I'd like a beer that tastes like a birthday cake, but not too sweet. And it's actually super refreshing. So cheers, Shane. All right. This is a special Hoppy Hour Father's Day edition. We'll start with you, Hoppy. You got a story here, a Father's Day story, and obviously it's a sports podcast. So we'll work in the sports element to it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I have endless stories about my dad. If you ask, like, any of my friends, like, all of them just know him as Randy. He is the life of any party. And the best, he's, like, you've seen how competitive I can be, Isha, and you probably haven't even seen the full extent of it. He's, like, 10x anything I could be. Like, example, we're playing with his parents, right? Grandma and grandpa, we're playing game 500. You're probably not familiar with most people. If you know euchre, it's just
I know euchre.
Little bit more in-depth euchre. Okay. And he just gets into it, starts screaming across the table at people because they played something the wrong way. If you really get him going too. So my dad, it's crazy, like zero hockey in his blood, in his history whatsoever. Grew up a farm guy. Like, his dad was a farmer. He lived in southern Minnesota, Nebraska, on and off. And somehow my mom and him met. Their first date, was going to a Blackhawks North Stars hockey game. Neither of them cared. It was just cool to go to the game. And he is actually, he only will talk about it when he gets a little tipsy, but he was an all-star football player in Nebraska. If he wasn't 5'7", and maybe that's giving him too much credit, if he wasn't that short, he probably could have played serious competitive college football, ended up winning a state championship in Nebraska. And this is back when there weren't different classes. So this is like, I think he said the average weight discrepancy from team to team was like 30 pounds from the guy you're looking across the field at.
Jeez.
And so if you get him drunk enough, he'll tell you that he was a fucking state champion. And he actually played, most of you probably listening know these players. You know Wentz or you know Allen, both of which stud quarterbacks. Well, Wentz, we'll see if he bounces back this year. But both of them were recruited by one of his teammates and friends in Craig Bowl. So shout out, Randy. Happy Father's Day. Congrats on selling the house and enjoy fishing for the rest of your life.
Cheers, Randy. I don't have a Trailer Park Boys Randy drop, but I wish I did. All right, I got two quick ones. My dad was born in Iran, escaped, you know, actually in 79 during the revolution, but a huge sports guy, a huge sports and music guy, soccer in particular, because that's Iran's sport. And when he escaped Iran, he went to Mexico, and, you know, Mexico, another soccer nation there too. And he, you know, played semi-professional, was actually scouted to play in, you know, big camps and stuff like that, and got injured at a young age, back injury that's kind of just, it hurt him for the rest of his life. It was one of those at the time where the surgery was a little bit 50-50 with certain, the herniated disc and some other injuries. And he was like, if one half of the surgery doesn't allow me to play, if one outcome doesn't allow me to play soccer for the rest of my life, then I'd rather just play in pain. And the stud that he is, you know, now he's in his mid-60s, is still playing soccer. Now in a senior league, he used to play with like younger guys still and just play like 10 minutes a night. But he's a soccer guy, but we grew up in Northern BC. in like my family, cold ass Prince George, a huge hockey town and sports town. They have great soccer programs, but you know, the BCHL and WHL teams have been there for so long. And I remember as a kid, where I think it was my first, you know, Prince George Cougars game, which was more of a professional atmosphere than a BCHL game. And you could notice that even as a youngin, just looking at, you know, the dump that was where the Spruce Kings played and the Stud CN Center where the Cougars played. And it's just a quick memory, but I remember looking up at my dad during it, one of those in between period contests, and I've never seen someone get so into, like, it was like a relay past the giant puck like competition down the line, and he was like yelling at people in this section, hurry it up. And I'm like, this guy doesn't even know what's going on in the game, you know, like I'm seven and I know hockey more than him, yet he's having the time of his life at this sporting event. And the second tidbit was years later, we were watching university hockey locally, and it's not high competitive hockey out here in the BCIHL. But my dad was visiting. He works up north. And we only see him a few times a year. And I was like, hey, you want to go see a hockey game? There's no other sports going on. And he goes, oh, yeah, let's do it. He meets me at the rink. And it's like October. It's getting colder. Shorts and like a little sweater. I'm like, Dad, you're from Iran. Like, this is an ice rink. Like, you've been here before. And this isn't like a WHL ice rink. There's no heaters around here. This is the Nanaimo Ice Center, for fuck's sakes. The guy sat there for almost the entire game, shivering his ass off because he wanted to spend time with the boys and watch hockey. So Amory, happy Father's Day. I know you're not a fan of the sport of hockey, but I love how you know, me being a young Canadian kid in BC, you still took me to all these games. And if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be sitting here doing this. So cheers.
Hey, Amory, my spirit animal. I'm the one that gets looked at cross-eyed when I show up to the XL Energy Center in shorts. So I get it.
All right. On the other side, let's dive into a ton of NHL talk. You're listening to the Soda Pod, episode 166, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. As we start this segment, let's just rip the Band-Aid right off. This is a story that was published on June 17th, so a few days ago now. And to be perfectly honest, I saw it first in our Hockey Podcast Network Slack group chat where someone shared it. It hasn't been circling around Twitter. It hasn't been circling around any social media or even local radio stations. And that's this terrible, terrible story coming up from the TSN talking about the Chicago Blackhawks in 2010, particularly a scumbag of a video coach. Now, still allegations, but I don't have to say he's allegedly a scumbag. I've read up on this guy. He's a fucking scumbag, Brad Aldrich. Now, the allegations are that from two anonymous former Chicago Blackhawks players that in 2009-2010 that they were sexually, emotionally, man, the list goes on, abused by this video coach. They were blackmailed with their career. The guy would force them, again with blackmail, allegedly, to send, you know, sexual text messages and photos. It's really dark stuff, guys. The worst part about this, Hoppy, is that the Chicago Blackhawks covered it up. And though Stan Bowman and other, you know, high execs in that organization, you know, haven't commented. There's no proof that they, again, quote unquote, covered it up yet. The worst part about this is what happened with Brad afterwards. When he left the Blackhawks, I believe a year later, he went and coached university hockey for a couple of years in Ohio, and then volunteered coaching high school hockey, where he was then arrested and sentenced for sexually abusing, I believe, a 14 and 16 year old. He's a piece of shit. And again, we don't know the details of the current case where two former players are, you know, suing the Blackhawks, and Brad here. But you had a comment, you know, as we were doing the show prep here, that kind of really hit home, the severity of all this.
Yeah, and it's bad if you go back to 2010 and just look at the allegations that are being put forth, but then you bury it and allow this to happen to youth hockey players. Like, no one should be assaulted, especially, you know, in an environment that you should feel safe, right? And we've already talked at length about what somehow went off the radar entirely after a week's time in the Pittsburgh scandal. Well, I guess Wilkes-Barre Scranton scandal, but like this shit, like why does everyone have to keep covering it up? If you come clean, like what's going to happen to you? Like nothing. You're just trying to protect a predator. That's all.
Yeah. And the worst part was allegedly the Blackhawks denied the motion to send this to the police at the time, where these players at the time were uncomfortable with this. And that's why this is so terrible. And again, we're not going to go into it too heavily. Please read the article. It's very, very good. Rick Westhead did an outstanding job. Whatever your opinion on Rick Westhead, this story in particular, he did an outstanding job with, and I encourage everyone to read this. We'll provide updates when there are updates on this case. We don't know who is involved yet. TSN reported that they know the identity of those who are filing this suit, but due to their policy, they're not going to release the names of any, you know, abuse victims without their consent. And I respect that from TSN as well. The one thing I just want to say though is we see a lot of these stories again in junior hockey, whether it's, you know, amongst peers or with coaches. We see this in women's sports, women's amateur sports. This kind of shows and pulls the curtain that it happens in men's sports too, you know, and it's not talked about because of the culture in professional men's sports. But if this turns out to be true, you know, it just shows that it's happening everywhere and it needs to stop. So that's all I want to say on it moving forward. Next story, which is again a complete 180, because this one's gonna put whereas this last story put a frown on Hoppy's face here, this has put a smile on his. It's a week in the running here, as we didn't talk about it on any of the episodes last week. Hoppy, the floor is yours. Your boy Ray Shiro back with Billy G.
Wow, it is just a delight that he was brought into the fold. First off, I mean, has it ever been more official that we are creating the Minnesota Penguins, which, hey, if you get three cups in about a decade, I think most Minnesota fans would sign up for that. Yeah. But wow, this is a guy that, like, I was so sad the day he was fired, even though, like, it made sense, right? They hit a wall. They had all the talent in the world and couldn't get over the hump to continue pursuing cups. But Ray Shiro is a guy, not only did he do a great job with, you know, how they went out and found prospects, with how they brought in and built the organization through NCAA hockey, which Bill Guerin obviously was a direct disciple of that because he was a huge piece of that with Pittsburgh. But when you got to the trade deadline, me and a couple of my buddies in college would always kind of joke that he was Jigsaw from Saw. Like, he'd just be like, I want to play a game. Whenever he called another GM, like, let's play a game.
I want to play a game.
And that's awesome. He had his way with everyone. I don't think he ever lost a trade on paper. Now, you could argue whether or not, like, they were the right trades, but he never on paper lost a trade with Pittsburgh. Or you go to New Jersey. Look, you got Kyle Palmieri for like a second round pick, I think.
Yeah.
Like, and that insane. Was, oh, I'm sorry, the Taylor Hall trade that everyone talks about, Ray Shiro.
And let's be honest. Let's be honest. At the time, he didn't give up. He didn't give up a haul for PK Subban.
Gave up nothing.
And that's the thing.
Because he found a team that was in a pinch.
Exactly. And again, Subban obviously fallen off a bit since that trade, but he was very good in Nashville, even in that, you know, that last year with them. And that was unbelievable too. I remember getting that text message the morning I went to the draft and being like, holy shit, Subban's moved. It must be a hell of a trade. And then looking at him being like, damn, they got fleeced.
So you just heard it here, everyone. If he's in the room with Billy Guerin when he's making that next trade, we're getting Dumba for Eichel straight up. Done and done. No one's going to look back. I mean, hey, what's worse? That or Larson for Hall? Who's to say?
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was horrible.
Adams is probably a little smarter than Chiarelli, huh? Yeah.
I have a really good Chiarelli clip from my time in radio. I'm going to have to bring that back here, especially in the summer.
What happened to my $100?
Peter Chiarelli in the management group.
Did you take my money?
That's right, little bitch.
But hey, the big thing though with Ray Shiro is he's not the GM, right? He's not running the show. He's brought in to use his best talents however Bill Guerin sees fit. And that's incredible that he's building this great staff around him. Kind of like Mark Bergevin, right? Where he brings in good people because he's not worried about losing his job, right? This is someone that's confident that I'm not threatened by these people. Let's go all in.
No, great point. Great point. Okay, we can segue in two directions here, and it's perfect with Ray Shiro, because you talked about how, you know, on the trade side, and you mentioned a name like Jack Eichel, which I think Minnesota fans, especially on Twitter, they're split. They're either for Jack Eichel, you know, all in, or like don't even go near the guy. So we can go down the trade route here and talk about, you know, potential Jack Eichel trades and other NHL trade rumblings. Or I'll ask you, Hoppy, how's Ray Shiro at signing contracts? Because we talked about contracts on the last episode, but there is a installment in the story of Kirill Kaprizov. So where do you want to take this?
I mean, the tough thing here is, like, he's okay at signing contracts, but that's because Sidney Crosby, he's not a little stitious. He's superstitious. And the most guaranteed contract you could ever get someone to sign for a discount is giving him $8.7 million a year, because he's going to sign that instantly.
I even heard that there were adjustments to the seating in the arena because of his superstition.
I believe it. I don't know that. Honestly, though, the fact to which, like, he actually lets Malkin walk out last from the tunnel, that's leadership, because that killed him to his core for at least two seasons. It had to.
3 years Super League.
3 years Super League.
Oh, that was awesome. Okay, yeah, great point there, but you still didn't answer my question. Which direction do you want to go here?
Well, I kind of went that direction, and that's all I have to say on the contract matter, so unless you have more to add.
Well, let's talk about Kirill then, because news came out that him and his camp, they're playing hardball. And, you know, put it this way, as a Wild fan, I hate it. You know, I'm pissed off this is happening. As someone who digs this kid's swagger, I'm like, you know what? You deserve to do this, man. And this is tactically the right move if you want to be on a winning team and make some fucking money. So I'm torn. Obviously, I want him to be part of the Wild. I don't want him, his contract, to sink this ship. But at the end of the day, if him and CSKA are going to bend over Billy Guerin, I'd rather they just say, fuck it.
I mean, I agree. And to be honest, I don't think he has anything to do with it. His representation basically said, you just go to your wedding, have fun, let me do my thing. Like, and that's okay. This is all posturing. They're going to try and do what they can. And the beauty for Wild fans, because I know a lot of people have lost their faith in him the last couple days because Kaprizov's not already signed to a $20 million deal, but Guerin's not going to be their bitch. That's not going to happen. He's going to find a way to make this work, and it's going to be on mutual terms, not Kaprizov bending him over backwards. And, like, first off, the Moscow thing, everyone knew he was going there for a wedding. This isn't, like, news that he's in Moscow working on a deal with CSKA. Yeah.
And also, like, I joke all the time, and, you know, half my comments on Twitter, tongue, you know, firmly planted in cheek. And let's be real, CSKA, they can't pay him, you know, anything crazy anyways because of their cap issues and the
Putin
cap.
No. Putin can.
That's the caveat, and that's, you know, if you believe he's actually KGB, which I'm still at this point getting more convinced here. But anyways. I think they're going to get it done. It's going to be a compromise. It's going to be, you know, there's going to be some pull where Guerin's like, look, I cannot give you this. And there's going to be some things from their camp going, we can't give you this. And that's where they're going to find their happy medium. I don't think it's going to be as low as a 2-year deal. And I don't think it's going to be as high as a 6 to 7 year deal. We'll say it's going to land between 3 and 5. And I'm okay with that.
I think 3 or 4 is what you're looking at, and that's got to be the concern, right? Because Panarin all over again. But if you can do that, that at least gives you some strength. First off, you're not paying him $8 million plus for a 3-year deal. Like, you're looking at a guy like Matthew Barzal, who is getting, like, what, 6-7-5 for 3 years?
And Elias Pettersson's about to have a similar deal.
Hopefully, for your sake. But, like, really, I'll take that deal. Because that gives you time to prove to him that this is a team that, like, is going the right direction. Maybe he falls in love with Minnesota. Who knows? And guess what? If he wants to leave, you don't do what Columbus did and go all in and keep him. You trade his ass to New York or LA because that's where Russians want to go. And you get solid players in return. And you don't you know, lose a whole lot. Like, it would suck to lose Kaprizov, but guess what? If he doesn't want to be here, I don't want him here. So, like, what are we talking about at that point? But the people that are saying that, oh, just give him a 10 by 8, or shit, some are even saying 11 or 12 by 8. No. Hard fucking no.
It's like, you don't give McDavid money out to a guy who's played 1 year in the National Hockey League. That's
one
crazy
goddamn talk. Year.
That's crazy
talk. Oh, he's the best we've ever had. So what? That doesn't mean anything. We're in Minnesota. Of course he's the best we've ever had.
There are so many examples of players who, again, have played with really great line mates, but who've had unbelievable seasons, and then we haven't seen them before. You know, I always think back, because I'm a Western guy, Jonathan Chichu, man. And it wasn't like he had that 1 year, obviously, where he led the league in scoring. And then he had a couple follow-up years where he still did pretty good, and then he was gone.
Right.
You know? And I'm not saying that Kirill Kaprizov is a Jonathan Chichu. I'm just saying.
But it's possible.
Yes. And it's the National Hockey League. If injuries can derail careers, you don't want to invest that much in him just yet.
It's insane. It's insane. And I know everyone loves Kaprizov, and I can understand that it's coming from the heart, not from the brain when you say that. Exactly. But I'm telling you, channel your brain, and you do not want to give him that much money now. Now, get through this 3-year bridge we're talking about for, between 6 and 7 million. Sure. At that point,
let's
proven
open
out,
up the window. Let's if, open up the window. Right. He's there. Go all in and let's win a Stanley Cup.
And if he's proven out, sure. You might even be giving him more at that point. And I'm okay taking that risk, because it's a way bigger risk to give out that massive contract. We've already seen what can happen when you give out a massive contract, even though at the time, no one complained about it. People were partying harder than I've ever seen at Big Island on that 4th of July when Parise and Suter got signed. You've seen injuries derail Parise. And obviously we didn't win in that window. So Suter, still a very capable defenseman, whether he's your 2 or your 3, but they're still not guys that you want to have for the next 4 years on those contracts. As much as I'll defend Suter, you don't want to overinvest. And no, this isn't a 13-year deal because you can't anymore, but it's the new 13-year deal because you see more and more players coming into the league, making a big spark, and a lot of them fizzle out. And I'm not suggesting that's what I expect to happen here with Kaprizov. I really do think that he is an incredible talent. I don't want him going anywhere, but I'm not giving him 10 plus for 8 years. I'm not doing it.
No. And again, my final thing on this is, if he's signed to a 3 or 4 year deal, like a similar to Barzal, that's 3 or 4 more years shaved off of Parise and Suter. And if you
one left at that point.
There you go. Last thing, as I know we're running short on time here, we want to bring our friend James Nichols on the next segment. We have to hit a little bit on these trade rumors. I know we talk about Jack Eichel endlessly, but let's be honest, Minnesota Wild are still in the news and rumblings, the rumors when attached to that name. And there's some other names floating around there too, not necessarily linked to the Wild, but linked to other teams, Sam Reinhart, Rasmus Ristolainen, we're talking Dougie Hamilton, who, what's crazy about that is Carolina actually allowed him to talk to other teams.
I get it.
It's still crazy. Like, Carolina, they ain't hardball. They're not hardballing him at all.
He probably gave them a number that they can't do. So they said,
sorry. No.
People.
Not that they can't do, that the owner will not do.
Can they, though? If you look at the construct of their team, again, we're talking like the Wild, right? You can't just pay someone max dollar and say, let's go for it. Because guess what? With or without Dougie Hamilton, this is a top 10 blue line in the league. With him, are they top 2 or 3? Yeah, for sure. He's an elite defenseman. He's incredible. But if he's going to the team, because we don't know what's happening behind closed doors, he might be asking for a fuck off number like Pietrangelo. And if he is, I don't know if Carolina gives it to him. Like, I, if I'm a Carolina fan and he wants a Pietrangelo deal, I probably say, okay, what can we get for him in a trade? Because that is still valuable to teams right now, because they need that eighth year to pitch it.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to get equal value. No. Right. But their goal here is, hey, he goes out and explores. We find out, does he want to stay? And if he does he realize market value with a flat cap right now? Do you want to stay here with a winning team, or do you want to go to Buffalo and make $12 million a year? I mean, if given those two choices, then you find out, hey, is the player here for the money or to win? And if he's there for the money, then maybe you don't want him.
Yeah, so some of the teams that are linked to actually all these guys are the Chicago Blackhawks, the LA Kings, Minnesota Wild with a few of them. Apparently Chicago's going, you know, pretty hard on Jack Eichel. Another player who last season was...
Ow.
Hey, I'm just reading what the rumors are here.
I'm not challenging you. I'm challenging whoever wrote it.
Another player circling, and this is nothing new. It happened last year. Actually, the Vancouver Canucks almost pulled the trigger on an Oliver Ekman-Larsson. The Arizona Coyotes, they're bullish on wanting to trade him in that contract there. And Morgan Rielly is what I've heard is an interesting one, because the Leafs are in on Dougie Hamilton, and if they bring him in, I mean, they're going to basically replace Rielly with him. So that was one that I heard of recently. And, you know, I'm going to be biased Canucks guy here. Bring Rielly home. He had a YVR shirt, Vancouver airport shirt, by the way, in his exit interview with the media with the Toronto Maple Leafs. If that doesn't say that he's flying home soon, I don't know what does.
Am I crazy to say that I would never give up Morgan Rielly to try and bring in Dougie Hamilton?
No, you aren't crazy at all. I think Morgan Rielly is one of the more underrated defensemen in the league.
I would absolutely take him over Dougie Hamilton. That's not a slight to Dougie, because he is a great player. But especially when you're looking at who the Maple Leafs are, I just don't see Morgan Rielly being the problem for them getting over the hump. The problem is that he's alone on an island. And if you bring Dougie Hamilton in, it's not going to improve the situation if you're just swapping him for Morgan Rielly.
Yeah, and again, different comparables, but they tried to bring in offense on the back end with, why am I blanking on his name?
Tyson Barry.
Yeah, Tyson with Tyson Barry. I'm leaving this in with Tyson Barry. And that didn't work out with the Maple Leafs, worked out with Edmonton, but shit, if you're dishing it to McDavid.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Don't get me wrong. I love Tyson Barry, and I knew that was a match made in heaven. I picked him up on every fantasy hockey team this year because obviously he fell down the draft boards because of what happened in Toronto. There's no way that he wasn't going to put up stupid numbers playing on that first power play unit. So, come on. And he's probably going to, I hope for his sake, because he kind of got screwed going to Toronto. I hope he can come out of this making some money going somewhere.
No, he's a Vancouver Island boy. I wish him all the best as well. But anyways, that was an interesting one. And again, I don't put too much weight in these. Look, I'm only going to read the ones where I know the sources of them. They've been right about some things before. And these are just some ones that raised my eyebrows. Man. So we'll continue to talk about them in more episodes throughout the weeks here and the summer as it's heating up, both literally and figuratively, now that the playoffs are coming to an end and it is summer. All right.
So I will say, though, just on the Jack Eichel stuff, because you and I have been extremely aggressive on get him no matter what. I totally understand, in a vacuum, if you're worried about leadership,
neck
whatever,
injury.
Locker room issues, neck injury, all those things, and saying I'm concerned about trading for him and giving up a massive haul. Totally agree. I also fully trust Bill Guerin that he is going to vet out both those situations. And if a trade is made, he's not worried about either. So if a trade is made, and again, we're giving up something like two futures, a prospect in Dumba, something like that, and you're getting a Jack Eichel that's been vetted out by Bill Guerin and by Ray Shero, and I don't know, Judd Brackett maybe weighs in somehow. I'm just throwing out big names, but if they bring him in after that vetting process, I'm throwing a fucking party.
Exactly that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. On the other side, James Nichols of the Nassau Men Hockey Podcast, as well as the Hockey Writers. We're going to talk a little bit about this series, this crazy win in game 4 for the Islanders against Tampa Bay Lightning. And then we will run down Tim Peel's hot mic of the week. You're listening to the Soda Pod, episode 166. Presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Everybody, last part of the show here, and we're bringing in a guest, James Nichols of the Nassau Men Podcast. one of the best New York Islanders podcasts out there. He's just smiling right now, not because he's joining us on the Soda Pod, because his team is absolutely killing it in the playoffs. We needed to, you know, bring in a expert, you know, a fan of this team to talk about it with in our last segment here. And, you know, shamelessly needed another judge for Tim Peel's Hot Mic of the Week. So, James, we're thrilled to have you. How's it going tonight, man?
It's going well. Like you said, you know, before we pressed record, you were like, you know, he's smiling because, you know, his team's doing so well right now. And it's true. It's, you know, I know that we were here last year in the conference final or the semifinal, if you will. But I don't know. This year's a little different. It feels a little more magical. It's all clicking right now. It feels good.
It feels more real too, right? Like last year, like no matter what would have happened, even if you won the cup, you'd kind of be like, yeah, we won, but this is like the weirdest playoffs we've ever seen.
It definitely was the weirdest playoffs I've ever been, you know, I've ever witnessed. You know, it's tough to say like it would have been less special last year. I think it would have been just difference, the right word. You know, I've been on the record saying it might have been a little bit harder just because of how much, you know, things changed and everything, you know, going through the pause and then coming back to play and then there's no fans and all the adjustments of, you know, testing and all that stuff. But this year is a little different now and the fans are back in the stands, and that's probably what makes it a little bit more magical, right? The fans in the stands. And like, you know, the 12,000 in Nassau Coliseum sounds like 25,000. It's crazy how loud our fans are. So that's probably what makes it a little more special, a little more magical this year, is just the fans after every goal. I mean, after every play, you know, a hit on the boards, they're screaming, you know, a proper pass, they're cheering. It's crazy. And then, you know, of course, that when they score, it's just an explosion at the Coliseum. So it's definitely a little more magical this year. It's really cool to see.
Yeah. And you talked about, obviously, you're playing the exact same team in the, you know, semifinals. Tell me, what's different from last year to this year?
Not much, man. It's crazy because, you know, they bring back essentially the same roster for the Lightning, albeit $9.5 million over the cap. But that's a conversation for another time, I guess.
Same roster.
and, you know, the Islanders are essentially the same, minus Anders Lee, you know, plus Travis Zajac and Kyle Palmieri. But, you know, the same grit, the same grind, the same system. And it's just been a battle. And I think this year, you know, the Islanders are that much more battle tested. They knew what was coming with the Lightning, despite not having played them for a little under a year now. But, you know, they were in the exact same situation last year. So, you know, going into it this year, they knew a little bit more what to expect. Everybody gained a little bit more experience. And, you know, they're I think, you know, even though without Anders Lee, they're a little bit deeper. Oliver Wahlstrom is a great addition, despite being scratched here and there. But, you know, last night or two nights ago, whenever you're listening to this, Trotz finally flipped Komarov and Palmieri, and you saw the dividends it paid. And, you know, it's a little bit different this year just because of the experience gained and the, you know, how battle tested they've become.
No, and I like how you said different and special are two words that you used there. And those are the exact two words that I described this team to compared to last year. Whereas last year they had just as much success as we're seeing them, you know, in the same round here, you know.
Yeah.
But it seems like they just have, what did I say, the juju or the mojo or just something else, maybe more chemistry, or maybe they just have that belief that, like, this is our year. Our fans are here. Our fans, you know, because New York Islanders fans, my, you know, our producer, who's actually not in the chair today, Dylan, I know you're listening to this. He says that's probably one of the most underrated hockey markets for how passionate those fans are, you know, especially up here in Canada, where, like, we think New York, it's all Rangers talk, especially even in our media up here. So with all that being said, and all with that entire package, I think that this team is going to be successful this year, man. I mean, I can feel it. And I don't get me wrong. I love a repeat. You know, and I know Hoppy does too, being the Pittsburgh fan. but I have to say that I'm voting for the Islanders because I just love what I see. I love the heart, I love the passion, and Trotz is one of my favorite coaches.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, I'm listening to Sportsnet the other day, and Jeff Merrick and Elliot Friedman are talking about, you know, isn't every team a close-knit team? And in a way, you can say, yeah, of course, every team is a close-knit team. But I think there's a little bit extra here with the intimacy of Long Island, right? You know, it's not just that they're a close-knit team, but they're also so close with the fan base in front of them. And they feed off of that energy, which has now become the sixth man on or the seventh man on the ice. You know, they're coining that term now for the Long Island fans. But, you know, so it has a little bit to do with the fans, and it also has a lot to do with the buy-in of the system. You know, when you look at the difference between Tampa Bay and the difference between the Islanders, you know, Tampa Bay has, what, six superstars on their team? The Islanders have Matt Barzal and a bunch of top six, bottom six forwards. Albeit they have a top pairing defense that is severely underrated, probably the best tandem in the league defense wise, but they don't have a number one defenseman like a Drew Doughty or a Chris Letang, right? So the buy-in with the system, I mean, they really play their game every night, and they give Tampa a hard time. Despite Braden Point scoring, what is it, 11 goals in 14 games now, he's still having a hard time out there. He's catching heat. He's taking hits. You know, the fourth line is really the engine that that revs the Islanders, and they keep churning. And it's really great to see after a shaky regular season. It's just, you know, the system Trotz has implemented, plus the buy-in from the players, and now the intimacy of the fans and how, you know, excited everyone is to be back in the building, and it's just all of that together is a perfect cocktail for success. And you're really seeing it pay off this year, as opposed to last year, where, you know, the Islanders gave them a good run, but, you know, the Lightning just did what they do, displayed their talent, and kind of, you know, overtook that series. Pretty, I don't want to say easily, but, you know, they came out on top because they knew they could.
Yeah, no kidding. And obviously my co-host has already outed me, and I've got, you know, the jersey of Carly Zucker's husband hanging behind me. I had a bet going into that series with Mark Parrish, and I'm still promoting Northland Vodka on his behalf, not only because it's delicious, but because I'm a man of honor.
Love that.
Now, I got to ask you, though. I'm putting you on the spot here to, sure, you know, shoot me straight. Without Sorokin, do you beat the Penguins?
It's a good question, right? Because Varlamov was a little shaky to start the series. He might have been injured. You know, so it really depends who that backup might have been. Thomas Greiss, you know, for the 4 or 5 years he was the 1B or B goaltender for the Islanders, he was superb. You know, he won the Jennings with Robin Lehner when they were the tandem. He was great in Halak's place whenever Halak was out and they were the tandem. So and then, you know, last year, you know, backing up Varlamov, he was very serviceable. There were stretches where Varlamov, despite, you know, being in my opinion, he should have been a Vezina candidate this year. He was so good. But the stretches where he got rest, Greiss was, you know, whoever they put in net for Greiss, or whether it was Greiss or Varlamov, the team was confident playing in front of them. So I do think that if it wasn't Sorokin and it was still Greiss, they would have just as much confidence playing in front of their goaltender, whoever it might have been. It's really just a question of who it would have been in net. And you, everybody knows Lamoriello builds from the net out, so he would have solidified the goaltending situation no matter what. Varlamov was always his choice. But then, you know, getting Sorokin was huge. It was a big move.
And, I mean, for me, though, I genuinely think that if Varlamov is in, Pittsburgh might win that series. Like, Sorokin,
yeah, I could see
stole
it.
Games. He stole games from them. It didn't help that the goalie on the other end of the ice was garbage. But, I mean, is there any way that Sorokin's not the starter next year?
It was definitely a 60-40, 70-30 split in favor of Varlamov this year. But I think as the seasons go on, and, you know, Varlamov's contract comes to a close, you're going to see more starts for Sorokin. I'm going to say 50-50 next season. I think it's going to be, 82 seasons. So 46 starts each, right? That makes sense. And
that makes 92.
I can math, right? That makes 92. So it's whatever the half is of 82. But yeah, I could see it being 50-50. And then, you know, maybe in year three of Ilya Sorokin, that's when he takes over as the starter or the 1A. But you see what he can do, the athleticism, the explosiveness in net. You know, he really is something. And it speaks volumes to where he came from. You know, the KHL was coined the beer league by many, and you really can't, I don't know if you could say that anymore. They got some skilled guys over there, and you see how you know, how well groomed Sorokin came over from the KHL and how successful he was over there. He was just, you know, it was just another day at the office for him. He knows what he's doing because he's been there before, so the pressure wasn't really mounting on him.
No, absolutely. And I think where once the AHL was truly the second best hockey league, you know, in the world, I think the KHL rivals that now for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
One last point to this series here, and then we'll move on to our last segment, James. But let's talk about game four quickly. Like, what a roller coaster ride and what a finish. So as a fan, you know, as someone who covers this team, both writing about this team and on your podcast, like, what was going through your mind, and describe the whole scene when they ended up winning that game?
Oh man, so it's like, you know, Neo in the Matrix, right? He slows things down in your mind, and you know, you see Varlamov come out of the net, and now I'm like, oh man, Varley, where are you going? And then, you know, that unbelievable move by McDonough, you know, I gotta give him all the credit in the world. It was a really great move. You know, you start to see him, you know, get to the backhand and he throws the puck at the net and you're like, oh no, here we go. You know, classic Islander, 10 seconds left, give up a goal. And suddenly, you know, the Long Island hero comes out of the woodworks and he just, you know, calm, cool, collected, zero panic on his face. I don't know if you saw the still shot. I don't know if you saw my tweet, but I tweeted it out. You know, I said, I love this image right here. Calm. He's collected. No panic, straight focus, looking down at the puck, and he says, nope, this is my puck. And he just bats it out of the way, you know, smart enough not to put his hand over it, you know, just bats it out of the crease and make sure the Islanders secured that win. And what I love most about that scene, too, was, you know, normally the team will turn around and hug their goaltender and be like, hey, good job, great game, good win. They all went straight for Pulock, and it was just, I had chills, you know. It was funny because there was two things that happened in the proximity of about half an hour of each other. And, you know, I'm sitting with a couple of the other guys that I write with, and we're watching the game, you know, watching it unfold. And that save, everybody jumped up. Oh, my God, Ryan Pulock, that was amazing. I can't believe that happened. Not a half hour later, Kevin Durant in the Nets game hits a 3-point shot to tie the game. They go into overtime, and it was another explosion. I was like, oh, my God, so many emotions tonight. And I, you know, I turned to the writers that I was hanging out with. You know, we were watching both games. And I was like, man, what was more exciting, the save or the 3-point shot? This is incredible. But yeah, the scene on the ice, the scene in the stands, then the scene amongst, you know, the writers. Even we, you know, most of the time we're like, oh wow, good play, you know, that was really good, you know, good on that guy. But this time we were like, oh my God, that's the play of the playoffs. And if the Islanders, you know, happen to move on to the Stanley Cup final, however far they get after this, no one's going to forget about that. And Ryan Pulock, that man is not going to pay for another thing on Long Island for the rest of his life. He secured himself as a Long Island legend for the rest of his days.
Oh, yes, sir. And like I said, it brought me out of my seat as well. But I will say, I don't know if it's the play of the entire playoffs. I think Fleury's misplay is the play the entire playoffs.
What was he doing?
Oh man.
That's
a story for another day. Okay, last segment of the show. James, you know, as regardless of how this series plays, that will definitely bring you and the whole crew back on the show, because this has been awesome. Last segment of the show here on episode 166 of the Soda Pod, Tim Peel's Hot Mic of the Week. Soda Pod is presented by DraftKings and the Hockey Podcast Network.
Hot air. Hot air.
Wasn't much, but I wanted to get a fucking penalty against Nashville early.
Oh. Episode 166 of the Soda Pod. Thanks everyone tuning in on Monday. Reminder, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, podcasts at the Soda Pod, wherever you get your podcasts from. Okay, this week's Tim Peel's Hot Mic of the Week. We have Hoppy and James judging this one. Shaq, He's not in it this week. I'm just going to say it right off the bat. He had a good run 2 weeks. We'll probably bring him back because that guy's a sound bite machine. But this one, we're throwing it. We're throwing it to Minnesota. We're doing an ode to the Twins. I promised Jack last week, Jack Leverance of 10K Takes, that I would throw it to the beloved, now former, if I'm not mistaken, broadcaster of the Twins, Bert Blilevin. Is that correct, Hoppy?
Blilevin.
I knew I was going to fuck it up. I was going to ask Hoppy prior to recording. Hey,
that's way less fun.
I was like, yeah, no, that's the thing. I was like, can you at least tell me how it's pronounced? And I knew he would probably tell me the wrong answer anyways. So I was like,
I just wouldn't have answered.
I'm just going to go for it. All right. So we got Bert and Pierre Maguire and or John Tortorella. You can decide who is
star-studded lineup here.
Yeah, boys. Who's the star of that one? But we'll throw it to the Twins first. For those Minnesota fans listening, you know this one, but James, this might be new to you.
Two home runs for Rodriguez, and then the American League batting title. Joe Mauer, 2-for-5 so far in the series against Jeter. We're going to do this fucking thing over again because I just fucked it up. Oh, we're live. I didn't know that.
Torii Hunter has been huge for Minnesota, showing signs of breaking out offensively with the bat. He had a big home run.
Well, I'm sorry for that.
Hobby, was that LaPanta after who went in?
I don't even know.
It sounded like him. I was like, "Was that Anthony?" Oh man. Okay, so that's number one, and that was unbelievable because I hadn't heard that prior to our friend Jack, saying that should be the one that should be featured here. That was his honorable mention from last week. Oh man, I was killing myself laughing. But then wanted to throw its competitor to the hockey side. I know that Pierre Maguire is very popular on this show. I don't know if he is on yours, James. But it's always a fun time. So here's a small clip of Pierre dealing with John Tortorella.
You have a power play coming up. You have a 1-0 lead. What'd you do on the off days that could maybe help your power play, which has struggled in the series? I'm not telling you.
In textbook torts fashion, I'm not telling you.
Right.
That's it. So two, different clips here, one a little bit longer, on the live broadcast, and one just very torts-esque, just shutting down Pierre's bullshit. James, you're our guest. We'll throw it to you. Who wins this round this week and Tim Peel's Hot Mic of the Week?
But before I judge it here, are we judging it for like most shocking?
Whatever you want.
Or like, okay.
You're just thinking. Right.
You get to set the requirements. That's what's so awesome about this segment.
So I feel like, the Blevelin one has got to be better in terms of like, that made me laugh. I was like, okay, wow, that's great. Like Blevelin, he made an honest mistake. And then afterwards he's like, oh, I'm sorry about that. It happens. But his initial reaction to, oh man, I fucked that up. Shit. That's funny. That's just like him being letting go a little bit and him being himself. And then, he gets right back to it and he starts talking about, the next batter up. And, that's funny to me. I don't mind that at all. And I hope he didn't get in any trouble for that, honestly. He's a human and mistakes do happen.
He couldn't get in trouble.
Yeah.
He's a legend locally, from what I've heard.
Yeah. So I wouldn't think he would. And from Torts, listen, that's still funny and it's great. But, true to Torts' nature, right? We know Torts is going to do stuff like that. So, Blevelin for me.
All right. Hoppy, how about you?
Yeah, this one wasn't particularly close. And it's not just because Bert is a legend here. Like James said, it was a great soundbite. But then at the end, he's like, oh, wait, we're live? And then immediately flips the switch and gets right back in character and Jeter. And that's right, just so perfect. He lost his composure because he thought he was off air. And then he's like, wait, what? All right, we're back.
Oh, man.
I could not do that. I'd be like, oh, no.
So the Twins walks away with this one.
Legend. They got to win something, right?
Boys, did we get the soundbite from the Colorado exit interviews with Nathan McKinnon? Tell me we did that one.
That was last week.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Shaq won, by the way. Shaq won. Okay. That tells you anything.
Wow.
We'll circle back to last Monday's episode and you can listen to that one for yourself. Cause that one was one of our best as far as a close competition. No, but this has been awesome, James. Like I said, it's been short on this episode, but we'll definitely get you and the whole crew back on soon. Before we let you go, please pump away everything you're working on there at the Nassau Man Hockey Podcast, but also for the hockey writers.
Oh yeah, thanks. Appreciate that so much. So you guys can follow us on all platforms, social media wise, at Nassauman Hockey. You can listen to all of our episodes wherever you please. All of our episodes do play on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. We do YouTube as well for those who like to watch visually. And like I said, follow us on social media at Nasman Hockey. You can read my work at thehockeywriters.com, covering the Islanders day by day on there. And my co-host and third official member of the Nasman Hockey Podcast, Joe Pantorno, is with AM New York. John Zella is just with the Hockey Writers with me. You can follow him on Twitter at John Zella. And that's us, guys. That's over at Nasman Hockey.
No, and you guys are doing great things there. Just to pull back the curtains a little bit for the listeners here, I mean, the boys reached out to us, you know, like a while ago now, and we're just like, see what you guys are doing with the network, you know, how can we work together? And it's been awesome ever since, seeing what you guys are doing, being able to help with whatever we can, and obviously collaborating now that your team's in the playoffs, and now that we gear up for some summer content. So the keys to the castle are yours, boys. Anytime you want to jump on, pump anything you're working on, the Hockey Writers and talk hockey, we'd be more than happy to have you back.
Appreciate that so much, guys. Thanks so much.
All right, big thanks to James again. He joined us short notice today on Father's Day. He was making the rounds, the festive rounds with the fathers there too. And again, a big shout out to our fathers and all the fathers out there on this special day. We don't have really much else for you. This was a big episode, a lot of content, a lot of different avenues. We'll be back Wednesday with a super fun one. And Hoppy, we're getting great feedback, at least from my friends who tune in, who like the direction we're taking with the show. They said that QA is a fucking star, and that the Judge Joeys are just getting juicier and juicier with everyone. So some good feedback from my boys and my friends right off the bat. So there you go, Q.
Just don't get to his head too much, because then he's going to come in, he's going to have these elaborate stories baked out and be like, dude, that never fucking happened, man.
I'm teasing it. If y'all like roller coasters, whether you can pronounce R's or not, you're going to love this Wednesday episode.
Oh, man. Yes, indeed. And I got to say, just because I know some people got upset, some people liked it, some people laughed and were upset with the meme I threw out. I hate jumping on the big trends that go around, but with the Star Wars one, I had to jump in with seeing several people talking about whether or not Kaprizov would resign. And if you don't put a hyphen in there, it's resign, which is the opposite of resign. It means he's quitting, he's leaving, he is no longer part of the organization. So if you don't put the hyphen in, just know I don't hate you at all. I'm just very, very disappointed.
Why the fuck you lying?
No, that's true. But yeah, so that I had to throw that out there because, well, it's topical, might be true, we'll see. And it's just a shot at the people who don't know the difference between resign and re-sign.
It's beautiful. I thought it was one of the best out of that particular meme. It was one of the best ones. And that's me, you know, talking unbiasedly because you're my co-host and friend. I
say, usually you say mean things to me, so that exactly, is very unbiased.
Exactly. So that one, that was great. And I'm gonna take credit for it. No, I'm just kidding. I won't. I'll give you credit for it as I post it on Reddit, because hopefully.
I mean, if you run a podcast network, you should take all the credit.
That is true. I don't take enough credit for that. Thank you for those listening on Google, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Folks, the best thing you can do for us this week, any week, is give us 5 stars and a kind review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. If you don't want to give us a kind review, just tell us what the fuck you're drinking, because that's what we want to know as well. Go listen through our website if you're a fan of the sport of hockey, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. You know, Hoppy saying I don't take credit for too much. I'm a network builder. I'll take credit for that. If you like basketball, we have a basketball podcast network. If you like food and wine, we have an eat, drink, and dine podcast network. So go check those out as well. And on your app, please download any episode from any of these networks before you listen, as it just helps our business. Shout out DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code THPN for a sign-up bonus or a weekly deal if you're a regular user. Don't forget to follow myself at VI Sports Talk. You can follow the Soda Pod at the Soda Pod on Twitter and Facebook. And of course, the Hockey Podcast Network at Hockey Pod Net. One more round after this, the finals, where you can give your predictions in our game day contest. You simply retweet the post and predict who the winner is, and you have a chance to win every round. Shout out to those who won a few jerseys already and participated and followed us throughout this contest. We really appreciate it. That's all for the show. Episode 166 in the book. Signing off, I'm Misha Drillme alongside the State of Hoppy. This has been the Soda Pod presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. We good, man?
We good.
Don't fear, just drink some beer and stay wild.